Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
For this week's industry review, I'm delighted to be joined by three physio experts. David Dalton is a consultant chartered physiotherapist and he's the CEO of Physiocare Limited. Alison Quinn is a chartered physiotherapist and owner of the Rehab Rooms in Deans Grange. And Dr. Grace O'Malley is a senior lecturer at the School of Physio at the Royal College of Surgeons, University of Medicine, Health Services and clinical lead of the CHI Complex Obesity Service. So, with that introduction, I'm delighted to welcome you all to the programme. And Dr. Grace O'Malley, I might start with you, and maybe you might tell us, a physiotherapist, in, I suppose, layman's language, how does one become one, and what does a physiotherapist actually do?
Okay, well, I'll start with the do. So we're committed to empowering people to move, no matter what their condition, what their age, what their circumstances, where they live. We want people to be able to participate. So we want
sure.
them to be able to go to school. We want them to be able to go to work. We want them to be able to get on the floor and play with their children or their grandchildren and to have a happy, healthy life.
So it's as simple as that. It's enabling movement.
That's it.
Okay.
But to do that, you have to deal with different layers of complexity because people will have different conditions. They'll have different physical conditions or maybe mental health conditions, or they live in different environments, which may or may not help movement. And to get there, you have to go to do a third level course. So in university, in Ireland, it's a 4-year degree. And then part of that is 1,000 hours of clinical placement. So
okay.
you have to be working in a clinical setting to graduate and then get into your first job.
Okay. And I presume, like many, because it's effectively a hands-on job, the practical experience is equally important as the academic piece.
Absolutely. So you have to, in order to be registered as a CORU registered physiotherapist, you have to do your 1,000 hours. And that's divided up between different types of placements. So you have to work with people who might have respiratory disease. So they might have cystic fibrosis. They might have chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. You have to do musculoskeletal health. So working with people with pain or
okay.
have after fractures or injury, you need to have neurological experience as well. So working with people who may have had spinal cord injuries or brain injuries or be born with congenital neurological injuries.
Okay, so the spectrum was really wide in terms of the treatments
exactly.
that you carry out.
You need to be able to work with everybody, no matter what their condition is. And then over the years, you specialise then.
Okay, stay with us. Let's talk to Alison Quinn. She's a chartered physiotherapist and she owns the Rehab Rooms in Deans Grange. Alison, you're very welcome to the programme. Tell us a little bit about you and your business, if you would.
Sure. I started the business, Bobby, 8 years ago. Prior to that, I'd worked in a mix of hospital and private practice. It was my second career. So before that, I was a merchant banker.
Right.
And I had worked for Glaxo Pharmaceuticals. But I always wanted to do something clinical. So I had quite a varied experience going into it. And in the rehab rooms, we're in Deans Grange. So it's very much a community practice.
Okay.
Which is what I wanted to start. So we would see kids, adults, older people, friends, friends of friends, people in the local business. And we're specialise in sports, back and neck injuries.
Okay.
Post-surgery rehabilitation. So it's a musculoskeletal practice.
And is that common among physiotherapists that one would specialise either in sport, rehabilitation, and as Dr. Grace told us there seems to be multiple specialist avenues that one could
sure.
pursue.
Yeah, I think in private practice, a lot of private practice would do sports injuries, joint, back, neck pain, but they would also maybe be other practices who might specialise, say, in women's health. But a lot of private practices would specialise in anything really, muscle, joint, ligament, nerve, discs, backs, necks. But some people may then specialise within that area. So I would see a lot of kids, teens, sports injuries. I would do a lot of orthotic prescription.
Yeah.
And I would see scoliosis patients. But I would also do the rest.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds very varied. Let's bring in our final guest, David Dalton. He's a consultant chartered physiotherapist with Physiocare Limited in Dublin. You've been on the show with us before, David. Tell us a little bit about you and your business. Just remind us who you are.
Well, PhysioCare, PhysioCare provides physiotherapy services across Dublin. We've five sites at the moment: Dublin 15, 14, and in Mount Marion. We tend to specialise in patients with chronic neck and low back pain. We also deal with a large number of foot patients, as well as a standard orthopaedic complaints. We're lucky. We kind of have a good team of about 15 therapists at the moment. And as Alison said there earlier, each of these specialise in a particular area, which allows for us to better help the patient cohort.
Okay, so the five practices then that you have, is the same type of work happening across them, or is Dublin 14 different to Dublin 15?
Well, you'd like to think it's the same, but I think the reality is each demographic area, like such as Rathfarnham, Dublin 14, it's maybe slightly older than Dublin 15.
Sure.
You do see different complaints. So certain areas may have more chronic necks and low backs, an older population, they need a slightly different level of care to the younger population, more sports injuries, acute necks, quicker resolution of symptoms.
Okay. Dr. Grace O'Malley, in terms of referrals for a physiotherapist, how much of the work would be referred, say, by a doctor, by a sports club, in other words, there are maybe other people out there who are effectively ambassadors for your business?
Yeah. It depends, I suppose, on the age, first of all.
Okay.
And that the age of the patient really dictates the referral pattern, because in Ireland we'll have maybe a lot of paediatrics. So children will go usually to their GP first, and the GP may refer to HSE primary care physiotherapy initially, or they may refer to a private physiotherapist that they know
Sure. Is
experienced, like Alison in paediatrics. Not all physios are experienced in paediatrics. But more often than not, it'll go through maybe a general paediatrician as well. And then, because in children, you're developing all the time, so pain isn't that common in children. If we have pain in developing children, we need to outrule other things first.
Okay.
Growing pains are usual in growing children, so you just need to make sure that you see the right person with experience in paediatrics. In adults, it's different. So you might have GPs referring to primary care services, to their private practitioner colleagues, or they might go through hospital system if they need to see a specialist rheumatologist, or maybe if it's an orthopaedic surgeon. And then those specialists may refer back out then to either their own hospital physiotherapists or to private or community. But we were chatting before we came on, and we were all agreeing that really the public now are much more aware of what rehabilitation and habilitation can provide for them. So often there's a lot more self-referral, I would say.
Yeah, I'd say we're 80% self-referral or recommendation.
Yeah.
Patients refer their friends in or colleagues in, and that's the mainstay of our referrals.
Yeah, and again, just thinking back over the years, like physios were around in my time playing rugby and stuff like that. But, you know, when I look at my own kids, and they all go to physios for various different reasons, so it seems to be much more mainstream maybe than it was. Yeah. And that's a good sign for the profession, that it basically has become, you know, established societally. Yeah.
Well, the evidence base for physio is very strong. But sometimes in the healthcare business or sector, you're competing with very large lobbies for other health treatments. So it's really important that people understand that evidence-based medicine, evidence-based healthcare is the kernel. And then depending on what condition you have, that you look for evidence-based treatments. And that's where, you know, when we're training people, we need to have research-based practice, that we're training our trainees how to look after people properly. And treatments are changing all the time.
Sure.
As conditions change all the time, and as our society and our environment changes all the time. So we're always, like all health professionals, you stay up to date with evidence. You have continuing professional development. You're pushing each other, you're brainstorming with each other to provide the best treatment.
Okay. Stay with us, because I just want to note to our listeners, anybody wants to text something in, we've got three of Ireland's greatest physios here in studio. If there's any questions of a technical nature, we'll certainly try and answer them for you. Back to you, Alison. You say that you do have quite a long time with the patient as a physio. Tell me more about that. So you probably build up a personal relationship with your client.
Definitely.
And, you know, once that's established and that's good, that's probably hard to displace.
Yes, it is. And it's great to have that time with people because you get to know them. I would have patients, as I'm sure each of the other speakers here, who I've known for a very long time. So there's a couple of elements of this. You get a long time to assess them when somebody comes in first.
Yeah.
So you can do a really detailed assessment and really get to the crux of what's going on. Then when you treat them, you have more time to get to know them. But also if something comes up then that doesn't quite sit with you, then you can flag that, you know. So all of us here would have seen people that they would have known well over the years where you think that's not in their nature. Something is wrong here. So, for example, we would have seen people where you might suspect, gosh, maybe is there maybe something sinister going on?
You might spot a cancer or something.
Absolutely, which has happened, you know, over the years several times that has been spotted. You'd have to then alert the GP. You might see somebody where you think neurologically that's not right. I had a patient who I'd known for a long time who I suspected had possibly Parkinson's, which they did. So, you know, you get that time with people. You can see you might identify a fracture in an older person that might have been missed in a hospital
setting. Yeah, yeah. No, very interesting.
Having that time is really important to us, you know.
What about the business model, David, in terms of, you know, recurring income, making sure you get paid, all the business stuff that, you know, sometimes gets forgotten about, but maybe is as important as the medical piece.
If I'm an insomnia expert, maybe I might get somewhere, Bobby. No, it's tricky. It's very difficult.
And you're managing 5 sites.
Yeah, we're trying to.
And all the HR stuff.
Absolutely.
And everything that goes with that.
And COVID was tricky to get through it. We're lucky at the moment. We have a very strong team, but the managing of it is tough. I think the physio model seems to work very well in private practice, closer to the owner-operator model. So I think you need the key players to have skin in the game.
Sure.
Everywhere. And if there's skin in the game, they're interested in patient care. We're only as good as the last patient who left our treatment room. And once they're making progress, they will tell their friends, family and colleagues. And if they're not making progress, it's more tricky.
And is the typical consultation, and maybe there's no such thing as a typical one, but is it an hour set fee and you do 8 of them a day?
Everywhere is different.
Right.
Speaking this morning, Alison's caseload is slightly different to my caseload. Everyone's is a little bit different. Again, we're chronic necks, backs, peculiar feet, some shoulders. We have a differential fee structure depending on the therapist's level and area of specialisation. So.
Right.
Grads out 2-3 years, maybe 60, 65 euro. People have specialised in stuff and might run 80 to 95 euro. It depends. And yes, typically it would be for half hour. Some women's health stuff does go longer. Sometimes complicated orthotic assessments go longer. Yeah.
And does the model work in terms of the people working at your 5 sites? Are they all your employees? Or do people basically be self-employed within an overall model?
It would have been the industry norm to have a large number of self-employed people. I'm quite sure Revenue made strong views on that. So I think it's now more acceptable, and most clinics do operate employee systems.
Sure.
Ourselves included.
Yeah.
That's just where it's at.
It's just interesting to hear your views on that.
Honestly, from experience, the self-employed model worked better. Because people, again, had their own skin in the game and were interested. So if we're all fighting for best outcome for each patient, it works out better for all.
Yeah.
We're tweaking it. So we have base levels and then we have to reward them when they do well based on patient feedback, patient outcome, objective measures, independent testing, that type of approach.
Yeah.
The thing of it is, it's tough work. Now, I think we're going to get our first joint venture off very shortly. But one of the guys who's with me 13 years, that will be in Lucan. So we are opening things up.
Okay.
So Bobby, same thing, 15 years. I'm not getting the outcome I want. I got to change what I'm doing.
Yeah. Grace, in terms of your own, you mentioned in your notes there that you're connected with obesity. How do physiotherapy and obesity, how are they bedfellows?
Yeah, so sometimes if people have obesity, if they have an excess amount of fat tissue in their body, it'll impact how their body functions. So they may have difficulty breathing, they may have difficulty moving, they may have pain, may have postural difficulties. It might be difficult to move around the house, to shower, to look after yourself. So a physio, as I mentioned, really wants to empower movement. So I work with kids, so physio will be involved in clinical exercise testing to see how the heart and lungs are working for the child, and also to build strength, fitness, and to improve how their body looks after.
It makes sense to me now, and I hadn't thought of that. If someone is, I suppose, theoretically obese, their movement may be restricted, and with that, enter the role of the physio.
Exactly. If you're living with obesity, you may be impacted. You may have a disability like other people with other conditions, and you need to be empowered to be able to participate.
Okay.
So my work in Temple Street, in CHI Temple Street, I've been there for 20 years. We've been building up child and adolescent obesity services, and we've been delivering evidence-based care. Now we're at the point where we have a lot of demand and very little supply. So we're looking at, well, how do we improve services around the community? And then how do we use telemedicine and digital care to try and increase access?
Okay, I have loads of texts here. Let's look at a couple of them. Alison, you might help me with this one. I'm terrified of needles, and my physio has mentioned that dry needling might be good for my muscle injury. Well, what would you advise such a patient?
Well, I think if somebody's terrified of needles, I think maybe...
Stay away from dry needling.
Dry needling is fantastic, and some people get...
Maybe explain what dry needling is, if you would, Alison.
I suppose it's a little bit like acupuncture. So you insert the needle into an area of muscle spasm, and it releases the area of muscle spasm.
Sure.
So it relieves pain and allows people to move easier. But there are lots of ways that we can ease pain. You know, we can do manual work, we can do joint mobilizations, we can get into the soft tissue. So if they don't like needles, it's probably better off not for that.
So there is another way.
Yeah, there are definitely plenty of other ways.
Yeah. David, maybe this is a self-answering one, but I'll give you an easy one. How important is it to do the physio exercises that I'm told to do?
Well, that's an obvious one.
Yeah,
yes.
Of course it is. I wouldn't be telling you unless it was important.
No, but every patient's different. Yeah. And certainly I see some of my guys who are very, very busy in work, and do they have the time to do their 15-minute exercises every morning? And some of them simply don't. So they may decide that they'll go swimming once a week, and they'll dip into us once a month to keep them on the track. Of course, exercises are important, but keep it simple. Make it easy to integrate into life.
It needs to be doable.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So the less perfect exercise that's very easy to do, I think, is way more effective than this perfect exercise where people have to lie on the floor and... Yeah. Must integrate into lifestyle or it won't work.
The 80-20 rule. There
Absolutely.
You go.
100%.
Yeah, applies to everything. Grace, this texter says, Bobby, I have a knee injury and knee support bands a good option, or are they bad for the knee?
Well, I'm going to defer that question because, as I said, I work in paediatrics and we don't usually use them. Sometimes
no knee bands for the babies.
No. So I'm going to defer to David or Alison to answer.
I might
that
answer that actually, Bob, because we would have a lot of braces in the clinic where we'd use for patients. My view in braces is they definitely have their place. You know, it's really good to. It might allow people to actually go and start the exercise, do some walking. But we wouldn't really recommend braces all of the time because you get dependent on them, but they certainly have a place.
Okay, all right. So in terms of, you mentioned there how the business model was evolving, David. Talk to us a little bit more about that. And I think it is nice to consider, say, what you mentioned there, a joint venture, because ideally that's somebody you know and trust, that's somebody who you know has experience, and that's somebody who maybe then you can help.
Absolutely.
You know, in other words, that it seems to me if the chemistry is right,
Absolutely.
That should be a no-brainer.
And I suppose this comes from, I studied UK, trained UK, worked in areas, brought back the care pathways from the UK here and it's tend to work. It was quite structured, more structured than what I witnessed in private practice in Ireland at the time.
Yeah.
So we implemented these. And we've been trying to grow and sometimes getting it right and sometimes getting it wrong. So we have to change what we're doing. So yes, with people, this particular gentleman, Rory, who's with me a long, long time, we've signed heads of terms. So we're looking to get him off out in a joint venture together. So that is the goal. Can I help Rory to do really well? Can he help the next guy to try and scale this up a little bit? Why do we want to scale it? To make a difference to public health. Again, patients are our primary driver. We're getting recommendations. We just want to help the general public and help the health status.
What about your own thoughts, Alison, on the future of the practice, the business? Where do you see it evolving to?
Physiotherapy in general?
Either or.
Yeah, I think physiotherapy is just going from strength to strength. I think as Grace mentioned about research, as we have bigger links with universities and more research coming out, great people doing PhDs and research sharing that knowledge. You know, patients now are, they want to be well, Bobby. They want to look after themselves. And, you know, they don't mind going, they want to go to the doctor and the surgeon, but it's not the whole picture.
Sure.
They're happy to help themselves. Your health is your wealth. So we can help them to do that. So I have one practice and I just want to continue to grow that practice. And as David said, we're here for our patients.
Sure.
We want to get them, we want to get them well. So I'm just going to continue to expand in one area.
Well, I say this often and I'm saying it again today. You're great ambassadors for your profession. My thanks to David Dalton, Alison Quinn and Dr. Grace O'Malley, and wishing you all success in your relative endeavours. Thank you for joining us today on Down to Business.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.